The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
We got bowls to talk about and gambling to talk about and a very special fill-in on a Thursday edition of The Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No AJ today. He's off today and tomorrow. So John Lee, the bleeping master, filling in. We also have Jerry Bow behind the glass for his debut on The Blitz. We'll see how that goes. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at my name Jong, at Jerry Bow Knows with a Z, which I've always thought was weird, and at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. It's a Thursday. We'll have Brad Powers today, talk a little gambling. We'll probably work Jerry into the show at some point once he figures out how to push the right buttons. And very happy to have John Lee filling in today. Got two-thirds of The Blitz. What's happening, Mr. Lee?
You know, it's a busy day. Today's like my Friday, so typically Fridays are me hunkering down around my computer planning out the rest of next week.
And is this where we get like the 10 emails from you with, with breaks and all that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And AJ... requested that he be taken off of those a while ago, so he's not on those anymore.
I find those useful because it tells me, fortunately, we finally have a system where if we're going to be out somewhere, I get it on my Google Calendar, which has changed. It's been a life changer, but that's the only way I know because I double check and make sure we don't miss any.
Yeah, and I added a couple of bowl games for Tuesday. So I had to do all that and send it all out to Charlotte, which is this all of this is like behind the curtain kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I'll just give you a little picture of what it's like to see Jong doing this. He's got his face buried in the computer. He's typing 1,000 miles an hour and he's trying to ignore everybody while we're out there BSing. Because Jermaine and Craig were out there. And so we were talking about their appearance this morning on the bench and how they got off to a little slow start. This is kind of that time, though, where everybody's. You know, most people are taking their vacation, so
yeah,
we're getting a lot of fill-ins, and I didn't get to listen to them too much today. So yesterday I did, and I know Jerry and our buddy Josh filled in for Palillo the last 2 days. And
yeah,
I guess Charlie's back tomorrow.
Charlie is back tomorrow, which is I don't want to tell people how to spend their vacation, but I feel like if you were to take Wednesday and Thursday off, wouldn't you tack on the extra Friday?
Remarkable. Yeah. I kind of would think that, but you know what? I think like, I could have taken the rest of this week off. I like being here.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, and we had a really, really good show yesterday with AJ and he's off to a wedding and it's always fun doing the show with Jong and Holly and Cody Stutes tomorrow, which will be entertaining. Although she's already hitting me up for show prep. I'm like, dude, I don't start show prep for Friday until I finish the show for Thursday. I have to see what's left over that we don't get to. On our long list of stuff, and looking forward to having those two in here tomorrow, and it'll be fun. And then I guess Monday we'll be doing an hour and a half,
yes,
right, because of Aggies. So we will be here on New Year's Eve briefly, Who's bringing the alcohol? I think we should have a little party for that hour and a half.
I won't be here.
You're not here? Oh, that's right.
I'm taking Monday,
too. You're still in Vegas. Wow.
And on the 8th, A&M basketball starts at 5 o'clock. Their pregame starts at 5 o'clock. So we'll have to talk about what we want to do for that day, because I don't know if you guys want to come in for an hour.
Is that that's the day after the championship game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we want to come in for an hour.
All right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'll just make that decision now. Well, it's whenever there's something big, man, I like to at least get some take on it. Mm-hmm. Because by the time you come, if you wait 2 days and do it, then you know nobody's talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
And even in the afternoons, by the time we get to 4 o'clock, if people are listening all day, it's like, oh, man, do I got to hear about the Texans again? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'd like to get our take on the Texans. Okay, before we get started here, Jerry, can you – I'm going to test him out here because he's got to do this tomorrow. And, you know, the last time we had somebody that wasn't Tyler, it didn't go well.
Now, I guess the benefit Jerry kind of has is I'll be basically helping him as the show goes along.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like almost a trial before. This is like, you know, riding a bike with training wheels on, and then tomorrow they'll be taken off. And if all hell breaks loose tomorrow, then, you know.
Well, see, I vowed I would never again do a show where AJ wasn't here and you weren't here, because the last time we did that 2 years ago, it was an abject disaster for a complete week. And that was when Tyler was just getting out. And I'm comfortable with Tyler now. Uh-huh. You know, it's okay if Tyler's the guy. So. Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, Jose, his first try did not go well.
No, usually first tries don't go very well.
That's because this is a different show.
Yes.
So I'm going to see if he's on the button here and if he can pull up Dust in the Wind for me, because.
Yeah, it's on my page. I think it's in purple.
Because, you know, this is, I want to, okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
You can turn it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay. So, yeah, this will be a work in progress, but that's not bad. He got to it relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Dust in the Wind to our winning streak. We're not the number one show anymore.
Sadly, we were beaten by your buddy John Lopez, our buddy Fred Davis, and Landry Locker. In the Loop beat us. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, well, congratulations to them. We're still, I feel like Vince Vaughn and Anchorman now. We're number two. See, I got my movie reference in the first 6 minutes. Number one in our slot, but congratulations to them. I'm bummed.
11 months.
Yeah, and you know what, though? Texans won 9 in a row and lost and came right back. We're going to do the same thing. We'll come right back in January, but kind of sucks. There was a time when, you know, we'd do that number and I'd be like, hey, that's not bad. Now, it's like, no.
No, the bar is set a lot higher than what we did.
Yeah.
And a lot
We're kind of like the Patriots all of a sudden.
Well, yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be 13-3, and suddenly we're 12-4. So.
Did you see the crazy scenarios for the week 17?
I did.
Like the Texans.
Okay, now you can fade. See, he did that good.
Good job. All
right.
Jerry's been producing for a while.
Oh, I know. Listen, I love Jerry. I have a bone to pick with him, but. But yeah, he does a good job. I'm hoping he doesn't suck at this, because it'd be nice to have another person that I trust running the board for the Blitz.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your playoff scenarios.
So the Texans can go anywhere, and I want to thank, give proper due, because Barry Lamanek is the one that talked about this. I think when he was show prepping before his show, and he was saying CBS Sports put this thing together where the playoff. Potential playoff teams, and the Texans can clinch anywhere from the number one seed, two seed, three seed, or the sixth seed.
Interesting.
The most improbable, I believe, is the first seed, because it's a long shot, because you need the Chiefs to lose, the Chargers to lose, the Patriots to lose, and the Texans to win, and then they'll have the tiebreaker because of the strength of victory over Kansas City, and so they'll be the number one seed. So you need every single team in front of you to lose.
Yeah, I mean, that's not realistic. I think realistically, even expecting the Patriots to lose is kind of silly. But something weird will happen. We were talking about this yesterday. When you come down to these weird scenarios, like all the Vikings have to do to get in is win. Well, I think Kirk Cousins was there a couple of years ago with the Redskins, and what happened? They finished 8-7-1. Guess what the Vikings would be if they lose to the Bears? And is anybody going to be shocked if they lose to the Bears?
Nope. So for the second seed, They'll need a win against the Jaguars. And in almost every situation except for the sixth seed, they'll need a win against the Jaguars. They'll need to have the Patriots tie or lose, the Chiefs to lose, the Chargers to lose, and you'll have the strength.
Well, they would be one in that case, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So to be a two seed, they just need Patriots to lose.
Yes, exactly. And for the third seed, you'll have to win against the Jaguars, or if they lose against the Jaguars, the Colts-Titans game needs to end in a tie.
I've seen weirder things happen on the last day.
And here's a nightmare situation, the sixth seed. If they lose to the Jaguars and the Colts and Titans game doesn't end in a tie, or if the Colts and Titans, one of those teams win, then the Texans fall to number six.
Well, that could happen too. None of that surprises me.
Yeah. So,
all right, Well, I have one question here though. What if, can't they still be, well, I guess they'd automatically be the sixth seed because, well, wouldn't they have a better record than, well, no, Chargers are already in. Yeah. So there's no way they can be the five.
No.
Because I was thinking the Ravens and Steelers both lose, but the Chargers are still ahead of them. So, okay. There you have it. There's all your scenarios.
I mean, is it inconceivable to think that the Texans drop one against the Jags and the Colts win, and then now Indy's hosting the first round game against Houston?
That wouldn't surprise me at all. And then it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans went in there and beat them.
Yeah.
I think all those teams, basically, you take that line from Chiefs and Chargers and Patriots, and then you drop it down to everybody else, nothing's going to surprise me. And I'm not going to be surprised if any of those teams lose in the playoffs either because, you know, Andy Reid, he can lose in the playoffs. And they haven't looked as explosive without Kareem Hunt. Patriots, we know, haven't looked as explosive. They could play a donkey game, although at home they're really tough. And, you know, the Chargers just got beat by the Ravens. You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun playoff. If you're a Texans fan, you're hoping they win and the Patriots lose and you get a week off to try to get everybody healthy. A couple things from Twitter. Bernardo said, would this month of defeat be like the year the Patriots went 11-5 and missed the playoffs? No, it'd be like going 11-1 and not getting in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Or getting in the college. Well, we still won the year. What the hell? This is more like soccer. This is like we're Manchester City. And you're not going to win all the games, but you won a lot more than everybody. I know Jerry likes that because he's a soccer guy. Yeah. Brother Bear says, can I vent? I took the wife and little kid to Gulf Greyhound for magical winter lights. The kid wanted to play the basketball game. He's a short, so he shot from the very front line. Well, it was an oblong hoop. $5 wasted. Hey, man, bleep that. That's like a carnival, man. You look at the hoop before you pay the $5 to shoot. I remember one. I don't remember where. I think it might have been the rodeo. And they had a basketball game like that, and the hoop looked too small. And I shot it, and I was trying to impress a girl, and it stuck in the hoop.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I think I win, don't I, buddy?
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jong Lee filling in. 832S. Always curious about the ratings. Is that against other sports talk shows or against all radio stations across the board, like the music stations as well? We just compare ourselves to the other sports stations because it's not really apples to apples. And to be fair, and we said this when we were winning, it's nice to get the numbers. And, you know, hey, look, we had a good book. Let's not pretend like we totally sucked and we're dead last or something. But it wasn't, you know, we've set a standard on it that we're hoping to hit every month. But the reality is, you know, it doesn't take into the stream. It never takes in Beaumont, any of those things that we never can count. So they're never, and like I said, we said this when we were winning, but congratulations to them. I'm glad they did it. And I guess Freddie D's leaving.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I like Freddie a lot. I've always enjoyed him. And 361 says the Knicks place ad says come at Nick's place instead of come to Nick's place. So is it that kind of bar or what? No, it's not that kind of bar, but I'm pretty sure if you go to that massage place next door, you can get that. I don't know. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Don't do that inside of Nick's place.
No, no, no. Although I'm sure that's happened over on the European side. Mm. There's a lot of weirdness over there sometimes. TCU Mike wants to know, can we cancel the playoffs? There's zero chance Bama will lose. More interesting than the Cheez-It Interception Bowl. Yeah, I'm curious how you feel about that one as a TCU fan. Might you won, but that was like watching UH play UH.
Yeah.
It was just brutal.
Yeah, that wasn't, no, that wasn't pretty.
Interceptions. Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I want to tell you real quickly about, while a lot of people are taking off, Sports Map is not taking off. We have all kinds of good stuff on there today.
Oh, yeah?
And I want to talk about something I wrote this morning.
Okay.
And I want to see if you can guess who all made the list.
Okay.
But right now we've got a story from Innovation Map on an on-demand training app based in Houston, which you can check out. We have Jerry Bowe's Bookie Busters is on the front page still. He's doing okay. He's all right. Have a bone to pick with you, though. We'll get to that. we have a thing on energy bars for fitness, like which ones are the best one for whatever your training is. We have our Cowboys report from Rogelio. And I did the top 10 Houston athletes of 2018. Now, last year I did 20 because you had to put a bunch of Astros on there. And maybe that was a bit much. So I want to see if you can guess the 10 people who made the list. And I think there's one that you probably won't get. Everything else is pretty straightforward.
And this is for all of 2018, right?
This is 2018. Let me tell you exactly what the criteria is. It's based on 2018 performance in the calendar year against their level of competition.
Okay.
Which I say, make sure you keep that in mind before you complain.
Okay. So. James Harden has to be up there.
James Harden is number one. It was really close, though. I almost made number two number one, but it's hard to argue with MVP. Damn near making it to the finals, even they kind of choked in the playoffs. And they didn't get off to a great start, but now he's playing really well. James Harden's your number one.
If James Harden's up there, I would imagine Chris Paul would be up there because he had a pretty phenomenal 2018.
Chris Paul, number 10 on the list. And I'll give you a hint. Those are your last Rockets.
I don't think you need any more Rockets. Yeah. I mean, Clint Capella, you could argue for, but like,
When you hear the rest of them, I don't think you can argue for Clint Capella.
Okay, okay.
That's just my opinion. Of course, it's my story, so of course it's my opinion.
Let's go Alex Bregman. Put up tremendous numbers in 2018.
Alex Bregman, number three on the list. Also, and to me, the top three, you could make an argument for any one of them. But I took Alex Bregman at number three.
J.J. Watt's having a good 2018.
J.J. Watt, number five on the list.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Ooh, we talked about DeAndre Hopkins recently about how much on pace he is to have a better career than Andre Johnson, and he's just right now he's the best wide receiver in football.
Number two on the list, and I think you could make a case for him over Harden, frankly.
Okay, I
could. But
see
I,
that.
I didn't. Harden one, Hopkins two, Bregman three. I think the top three to me were pretty straightforward as who the three guys should be.
I would imagine a couple of Astros are on the other than Alex Bregman, a couple of Astros would be on that list. Maybe Justin Verlander?
Number four. So now you've got the top five.
Okay.
And
how many more do I got?
I'll tell you in just a second. Harden one, just recapping for the people. Hopkins two, Bregman three, Verlander four, J.J. Watt five. You don't have number six. You don't have number seven. You don't have number eight or number nine.
Oh, wow.
So you have 10 and the top five. So, nine, and you know,
Deshaun Watson
is number seven on the list.
Okay. Jose Altuve,
number eight. Even though he didn't have the same year, he still was the second best Astro hitter this year. And by his standards, eight's pretty low.
Okay.
So, you have two left to get. You need to get number nine, and you need to get number six.
And you had that caveat at the beginning when we did this.
Yeah, there's one guy I just don't think you're going to get, and then you're going to feel stupid.
Trying to think outside the box.
Now, don't get too far outside the box.
Okay.
It's a box, but it's not. It's like on the corner of the box.
Okay.
It's one of those, like I said, it's going to make perfect sense when you hear it, but then you'll probably never guess it. The other guy, to me, you should have already guessed.
Oh, what about De'Aaron King?
That's the one I didn't think you were going to get.
Okay.
De'Aaron King, number six on the list. And the reason he's on there, remember I said level of competition, 8-3 as a starter, 50 touchdowns, almost 3,000 passing yards, six interceptions, and then they fell apart like donkeys when he was out. So he was amazing this year. I think you could almost make a case for him top five, but he's number six on the list, and that's the one that I didn't think people would get because most people didn't watch UH games this year, but that guy was incredible. So you have one left. Number nine.
Okay. Carlos Correa had a bad year. Yeah.
You've had three Astros on the list. Altuve.
I wouldn't think you would put any more.
Yeah, Altuve, Verlander, and Bregman made the list.
You said no more Rockets.
No more Rockets.
Would have to be a Texan.
Yeah. Boy, AJ would have gotten this by now. No offense. Jerry would have gotten this by now. Of course, he already talked about it when he filled in today. So
is it Clowney?
It is Clowney.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. So you got them all. The De'Aaron King's the one that I didn't think you would get.
I mean, he was putting on some fantastic numbers, and it almost like he's not the same player as Greg Ward Jr. If you watch him play, I think Greg Ward was much more accurate. But just the change of like the dynamic that he brought to the offense, like it just without him, that team just looks so bad.
Yeah, he's Greg Ward was a different kind of player, but this guy is so good. And then the ones that just missed out, I think Ed Oliver didn't play enough.
Yeah.
I thought long and hard about people like Simone Biles and Derek Lewis, but I think individual sports, it's really hard to say. It's very difficult to put somebody in an individual sport over when your 10th guy is Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that I always struggle with when you do a list like that. And if I'd done a top 15, those people would have been on it.
If Derek Lewis beat Daniel Cormier,
if he'd beaten Daniel Cormier, he'd have been on the list. Yeah, and if it had been Olympic year and not just a world championship year, maybe you make a case for Simone Biles. But it really wasn't like last year. There were a lot of people that I felt like, man, you can't leave off Charlie Morton. You can't leave off this guy, especially what Morton did in the World Series. But I had no problem cutting it to 10 this year.
So, that's understandable.
Well, no championship. But I felt like last year you had to, there's so many Astros that I felt like deserved to be on the list. But, yeah, that's on Sports Map if you want to go check it out. That was my first little experience. One of the new tricks we can do is we can do photos with every little person in there. This is a silly thing that we should have been able to do all along. But, like, I have a photo of each guy in the story, just like I used to be able to do on sports and stuff. When we had WordPress, we had a whole year there where you couldn't do that, but now you can. So it looks kind of cool. So if you're looking for something to argue about, there you go.
I mean, I think it says a lot about Jose Altuve when he had a down year and he still batted, what, like 314, whatever
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
And he still makes the top 10 list.
Yeah. Well,
and injured
and,
all year.
And you feel bad about putting him eighth.
Uh huh.
At least I did. So. Yeah, that's – but I also felt like, wow, Deshaun Watson, seven, really? But, yeah, I think JJ, the year he's having – and the kind of point I made with why JJ is higher than Clowney has an impact, but it doesn't always show up in the stats. Watt's stats are showing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 14.5 sacks, six forced fumbles, 18 tackles for loss. So he's having that impact and getting stats. So I think that was the difference between those two. And – I really wanted to make a case to put Hopkins over Harden, but it just, you can't argue with the guy getting the MVP last year. So you go back, if you're just going on the start of this season, I would have Hopkins number one. But if you go back to last year, I think you had to have Harden.
Man, J.J. Watt, number three in the league in sacks.
It's pretty incredible.
He's tied for third with Danielle Hunter and Von Miller. 14.5. Chris Jones has 15.5. And, of course, Aaron Donald is way up there with 19.5.
This is what has Chris Paul done this year? Again, listen to how the description was. It's the 2018 calendar year. You got to go back to all of last season after January.
Oh, Chris Paul was a monster last year.
Yeah, so
and was able to stay healthy until the run-in with the Warriors.
Yeah, I think somebody asked about Gerrit Cole. If I were going to add another Astro, it would have been him. But I can't see putting him on over any of those people that we mentioned that didn't get on.
Yeah.
So, all right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today, but Chong Lee filling in ably, as he always does. Jerry Bow trying not to screw up in there. So far, so good, I think. You know what's going to happen tomorrow when the training wheels are off. He's just going to crash right into an 18-wheeler. You know what's going to happen. So I have a question for you, Jerry, because usually usually when people do this, it's not as bad as it sounds. But somebody tweeted at you and me today and said that drinking story is in confidence. I don't think Fred Fowler is going to appreciate you telling that story on air. So what story did you tell on air?
I think he's saying it somewhat in a joke. So Josh had a story he pulled off. Just some Huffington Post or something like that. Basically, a guy broke into someone's house, and then the guy, the homeowner ended up giving him a ride home for whatever reason. So then just the story I added, I don't know if he's talking about that part or the story I added on was I had a friend that, or a guy I knew, not even actually a friend, but he did the same thing drunk one time and drove and basically walked into a stranger's house thinking it was his and basically got arrested.
Okay, that's fair. I figured it was something like that because, mainly if I do something stupid drinking, I always tell it on air anyway. I did this. It was stupid. Duh.
Makes for a good segment.
Yeah, it always does because, people know that we don't always do the. See, usually, though, the people I hang out with, it's like they know going in that if they do something really stupid, it's probably going to be on air. And so there's this unwritten agreement that I won't talk about you by name if you don't talk about me by name. And just let me tell my stories on air because I tell them, what I remember of them, I tell better. That's what I figured. It was something like that.
You know what's crazy? And this freaking sucks now because I would, even when I'm drinking and I don't get like hammered, the next morning I'm hungover.
You know, I have a great product.
I know.
I don't have a live read for that now. That would have been a perfect setup.
I mean, I keep forgetting. I do have a couple of samples.
We got boxes in there.
Oh, do we?
I'll show you where they are.
Yeah. Okay.
And they do work from personal experience from the Christmas party.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know who was drunker, Jerry or his wife. It was funny.
I heard Barry was pretty.
Barry. I basically made Barry sit down and drink coffee because he's got a long drive. And it wasn't his fault because people just kept bringing him shots. Mm-hmm. And he did like three of them in a 5-minute span. And that's, from experience, I know that that's the end of my night, right? When that happens, you stop. But he wasn't sloppy though. He was actually okay. He shouldn't have been driving. So that's the first time I met Jerry's wife. She's a wonderful young lady, but we were having a little, bet on who was more inebriated, at Nick's place. But that was a fun time, man, and I miss Nick's place so much. So I was telling Nick, I'm going to make it a point to get out there at least once a month in the new year. But I'm not drinking. Now, part of it is now I got a damn puppy to deal with every morning. But I'm kind of gone to where I'll have a few drinks each night, but I'm not doing the, hey, let's go out and binge and get hammered thing anymore. I think the last time I did that was about, I want to say 6 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay.
Well, it was whenever the Grey Cup was, which would have been November, sometime in November. It's like I don't know if I'm retiring from full-on degeneracy, but especially publicly, I'm just being a lot more careful because I'm old and I could die from that. Let's start with that.
Look at you maturing.
I don't know about that. I don't want to be maturing because then I'm going to turn into the old guy. And I don't want to be the old guy. I want to be the fun guy, but I don't want to be stupid, sloppy, fun guy, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense.
But yeah, I've kind of got like, even this weekend when I didn't have to do anything, Saturday I had nothing to do, right? Mm-hmm. I knew I had Sunday I had to do Texan stuff for Sports Map, so I wasn't going to drink anything there. But Saturday night I had like one of the nice beers that somebody brought me for my birthday. Couple of really good glasses of whiskey, and that was it.
Oh, no weed?
I smoked a little weed too. See, that's the other thing I'm kind of doing, which I don't know if I should be confessing on air or not, but like I'll do a little bit to drink, and then I'll smoke just a little bit of weed because the stuff I have is really potent. Uh-huh. And I sleep great. And so, and we're doing shifts. Are you guys having to do shifts on your puppy?
Sort of. I do morning and night, and she does the day. Obviously I'm at work. I can't really take. So, your puppy, she or he?
She.
She. Your puppy, does she, like, does it, not it, does
well, it's an it. That's yeah, technically correct.
She gets you out earlier than you normally get up, but I know because you're an early morning person.
Well, you know,
right?
I always get up early. So, like, basically, most of the time I would get up at 5:30, but I'm going to bed earlier now and getting up at 4:30. And, like, Val will kind of keep an eye on her until then. And then I'll go down there and, you know, basically she'll play for about 2 hours and she's all fired up and then boom, she collapses.
Sounds yeah. just like mine. Yeah. I think I wake up like maybe an hour earlier now, just to kind of, I take her out. She does her business, come back in, I feed her breakfast and I play with her for a little bit. And then she gets really tired. I started working out again. So I do that. And then, I'd go take a shower, and then after that, before I leave, I take her out again, and then she kind of hops in bed with Teresa when I get here, and then she takes care of her for the whole day, and then I take her whenever I get back home.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we're taking her out 5-6 times a day.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But it's funny though. The cool thing is after being really indifferent the first couple of days towards her, Derby's been playing with her, and it wears them both out. So, like, they'll go at it for about an hour and a half, just bouncing around doing silly stuff, and then next thing I know, they're both just out. So, if I need to take a nap or get something done, which today I was doing a lot of work on Sports Map and some other stuff. As a matter of fact, we're real close on the print version of the novel. I think that's going to happen in a couple of days now. And if you're interested in the audiobook version, all you got to do is go to the top of my Twitter. It's pinned there. And it's also on GalMediaPublishing.com, and I'm a great response so far. I appreciate everybody who's checked it out. But I've been able. She chews on the computer. She tries to chew on my computer when I have it on my lap, and she'll like jump up on my lap and try to chew anything. That's what puppies do, right? So like my nice running shoes, I have to keep away from her. Computer, you have to keep away from her. It's all the little stuff that you don't think about, and then. Today I caught her chewing on one of the electrical things. I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm going to kill her. Get away from that.
No. The electrical thing's going to kill her.
Yeah, well, but.
Yeah. How old is she?
8 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
She's still very much a baby. But I have to admit, I got a lot more attached a lot quicker than I thought I would.
Yeah, same here. And I think we're finally at a point where when we bring her back in, we'll let her do whatever she wants to do, kind of roam around, play with toys, whatnot. She doesn't have really accidents in the house anymore. So we're finally at that point.
We're still going to be dealing with that for a while. Although she's already gotten better. I mean, it's like down to one or two a day, which I can live with.
Yeah.
But the fun thing with her is she follows me everywhere. So if the other dog doesn't want to play with her, our new deal is I just will sprint from one end of the – because our second floor is pretty – big. I'll sprint from one end to the other. She'll chase me, and then I'll sprint back. And so, get a little bit of cardio in while the dog's chasing you. But you got to. She's so little. I'm so scared. I'm going to step on her.
Yeah, mine has gotten to a point where she will. She's a lot quicker than I am now. Where she'll when we're running back and forth, I'll run to one end and then I'll turn around and she's already running back towards the other end. I'm like, I'm old. I can't keep up with you. Like you're like 16 weeks old and you're just outrunning me.
Well, they're fun. I'm sure. The only thing that sucked was this morning when, of course, it was torrential downpour. Both dogs had to go out. And
oh, that was not fun. Last night too.
Well, and last night that the same thing. But I'm out there with an umbrella carrying the little one, and then the other dog. She doesn't care about the rain. She likes it, so she's running out from underneath the umbrella, and we both get soaked. Longhorn Dimitri says, waiting for you guys to get a man's best friend dog training read. I don't know where Iris is going to do some kind of puppy training starting next week.
Yeah, we need to.
The wife's doing that. So I, because this whole thing was supposed to be her deal, right? And and now suddenly, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll help with it. But yeah, this is your dog. Of course, now the dog has just latched onto me. And it's and like, okay, I'll.
That's how it always happens.
Oh, Roberto, that picture, he says, I feel 80 years old and broke because of my posse. But they stay, and sister-in-law and others cannot. And he's got five dogs there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sounds like AJ got the best end of the deal with a quiet dog. But, oh, well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a lot to get to. We'll talk some bowls going on. Is Wisconsin already up 14 to nothing? Jerry, do you have anything on this?
Wisconsin.
Okay.
Damn it. I should have took that for our pool. I was thinking about taking Wisconsin, too.
I keep telling myself every game that wins, like, man, I should have took it in the pool. I'd had Duke earlier, but.
Yeah, Duke is the one I should have taken. And, well, the other one I'm kicking myself over was not taking the under in TCU Cal. So, okay, the music's supposed to keep going. When we could talk over,
I think we ran.
I know that's
past
when you
it,
just
yeah.
You know, that's when you just hit reset on it and you do it again. That's a little trick. So bring up some music. Doesn't even have to be the same song at this point because
you would just sing it.
No. We need to get some beer in here for you to sing again. We need some John karaoke. Damn it, that's what we should have done today. We haven't done that in a while.
I drank way too much over the weekend.
And you're not going to drink in Vegas. You need to warm up now, man.
I don't know if it's not going to be that type of trip. It's going to be with like my mom, my dad, my brother.
Dude, if you can't get drunk in front of your mom and your dad and your brother. Okay. We'll talk off air.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Fred Fowler and Jong Lee. And we'll throw Jerry Bowe in the mix. He's now talked on the show. And it's not us grilling him for screwing up. We actually involved him in the conversation. You can hear Jerry on Moneyline on Sundays with Josh Jordan. Those are two of my favorite guys at the station, so check him out. And check him out on SportsMap because he wins money.
Yeah, he does. Both him and Josh do a fantastic job. I actually listen to that show when I'm driving into church. So, I will kick myself if I get my picks wrong and I don't, you know, talk to... There was a stretch where I did talk to Jerry about some of the picks, especially when I was in last place.
Yeah.
In the Gal Pool, I would... I think it was the Kansas City... I forgot what game it was. It was the Chiefs game. Chiefs-Rams, right? Wasn't it? And I was like, man, I think I'm going to take the Chiefs... Or no, yeah, the Chiefs with the points, I think it was. And then Jerry was like, I feel good about this. And then the whole game, I think they were down 14 or whatnot. Yep. And they, you know, came back and I was like, I was praising Jerry's name.
Yeah, my picks for the pool this week. And the reason I didn't take some of these other college games is because I really like Purdue against Auburn. And so I took Purdue +3, and my NFL pick. And when you think they have nothing to play for, you're going to go, oh, wow, you really are going to give up 9 points with a Saints team that's not going to start Drew Brees? Yeah, because I'll take Teddy Bridgewater over Kyle Allen any day of the week. The Saints backups are better than the Panthers backups, and the Panthers have quit. So it's a lot of points to give up, but I feel pretty good about that one. Those are two plays that I've actually already bet. So those are my two for the contest. And it hasn't been my best betting year, not going to lie. But it's funny how things work out. I've been on a pretty good run here over the last 2 weeks. I think I'm on a 14-5 run.
Oh, nice.
And I'm not going to tell you how much I was down to start December, but between that and then the first opening day at Santa Anita yesterday, I hit a really nice trifecta. And so I have a chance here over the last couple days of this month to get up for the year, which wow. I would have never told you back in October when I was down a Subaru. Used Subaru, but still a Subaru.
Ooh.
Nothing says love like being down a Subaru. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I took the Eagles minus six because 6.5, I think, and it's a little risky on the I think it's on the road against a Redskins team that's not that good.
They're dead. Redskins are dead. So.
And the Eagles have everything to play for here. They have to win, and just to grab that wild card spot. And I think if I remember it correctly, they'll have to have the Vikings lose. Let me double check here.
Yeah, the Eagles have to win. The Vikings have to lose. That's the scenario for the Eagles, which I don't think is impossible, frankly. That Bears team still has something to play for.
Mm-hmm.
And because if they win, and the Rams aren't going to lose, but the Rams haven't been all that impressive. They'll at least put some pressure on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think anybody wants to go to Chicago off a bye.
Well, the Rams don't.
I know. We know it. We've seen that act. 281 said, I know it would have been hard, but somehow I would have gotten George Springer in there, even if I had to make it a top 11. To be honest, if there's another Astro, it would have been Garrett Cole before George Springer.
Yeah, not this season. I think last year.
Yeah, last year he was top 10 for sure. But again, 2018, nobody ever reads it when you tell them, okay, this is what I'm using as my criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just rip you for it. And it's like, well, that's why I always put the criteria in there.
Maybe he's not remembering George Springer's 2018 season.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just
for 2018. Because if you're going to start just saying who are the best athletes, well, Ed Oliver belongs on that list, but he didn't deserve it this year.
No.
Missed a bunch of games. Was good before he got hurt, but, and then you throw in the whole sideline thing with his coach. So are you going to go back to UH now that Kendall Browse is dead?
I do feel...
Unless they hire Art Browse.
Oh, God.
You could see that, right?
Yes, I could see that. It's almost like... I don't know how to explain this. It's almost like, I guess, taking back an ex-girlfriend when she cheated on you. But then I guess you're like, oh, if you get rid of so-and-so, then I'll get back together with you. I feel dirty doing it, but I think I'll probably start watching it again. I think I'll feel a lot better if Major gets fired.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Lamont, I don't think I understand your tweet. Please explain how can the media tell the public bowls don't mean anything outside of New Year's Six in the playoffs and players do not get up for meaningful bowls? Huh?
I think he's talking about what Saban said. I didn't really understand what Saban said.
Yeah,
also.
And he says, and the moment a team lose a meaningless bowl, media want heads to turn? Huh? Can you translate that for me, guys? Because I'm sorry, man. I don't get what you're talking about.
I mean, is he talking
about...
I'll
tell you what I've said. I've said that most bowl games are meaningless. It depends on the team. Like tonight, I think that game means a lot to Baylor. In fact, from a betting perspective, I would take Baylor. But the example that I always use, okay, Georgia-Texas. Georgia thought it was going to be in the playoffs. And that's still a pretty big bowl game, but do you think they're going to be as up for that as they would be for a playoff game? Texas, this is a big deal for them, considering how down they've been. I mean, you have to take each one. I think you have to take each one individually. But and the only time that I'll hammer on somebody, like when UH doesn't show up at all, that's embarrassing. And does it mean anything? No. Is it going to matter next year if they go 13-0? Nobody's going to remember that Army killed them. But considering the fact that you just got rolled by Army and weren't prepared and looked stupid doing it, with a team that collapsed at the end of the year for the second year in a row, yeah, that's when you start focusing on the coach a little bit.
I'll give you the perfect example about this. 2009 Sugar Bowl, Utah playing Alabama.
Oh, yeah, that one was the – and, boy, that was Utah was plus 10. I hammered him.
Oh, and, yeah, they beat him by two touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah, and you see that. And well, frankly, UCF and Auburn last year. Auburn was – about to play for a national championship. This was UCF's national championship in their mind. And, but now I'll give you another example of one that was completely meaningless because they didn't even play it. Boise and Boston College. Starts raining. Oh, bowl's canceled. Sorry.
No, there are teams that have expectations at the beginning of the season, like Alabama did in 2009. They're, you know, thinking about going and playing for a national championship, and all of a sudden they lose a game, and they're like, they get, instead of playing for the BCS national championship game, they're playing for a Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, and but I think I'm getting his point here is like the, because he says those meaningless bowls actually mean something to some teams. They do. Fresno's rushing the field after a win, so that meant a lot to them. UAB. Them going into that bowl game, that meant a lot to them. And for a team that hasn't made a bowl in a while, like Baylor, especially where Baylor was, I really think this game means something to them tonight. And I like the Bears because, you know, for Vanderbilt, oh, it's a nice trip to Houston. We actually get to see attractive women that we don't get to see at Vanderbilt. And for Baylor, it's like, hey, let's, you know, we weren't supposed to be here. I mean, this is a pretty fast spot for them to be after what was an absolute disaster. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but that's, to me, I think it means something to Baylor.
And a lot of times when they play the Hawaii Bowl and Hawaii's the home team, the teams that go and play in the Hawaii Bowl, they're distracted by what is over there in Hawaii. God, yeah.
Well, and that's it, especially when Hawaii's pretty decent, which this year they started off great and then they fell off. But that's like it. That's like that for teams that travel over there just for games. You go out there, you're seeing the hula girls, you're seeing the beaches. Eating a bunch of big old gigantic pig. Do you think you're going to actually go out there and play your best football game?
Yeah. No.
I don't think I would. You know, I'd be, well, I'm not going to say what I'd be doing if I were that age, but I'd be going Hawaiian, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you're also talking about when you look at all these eligible draft, I guess, prospects coming up, the high picks that sit out these bowl games that are, quote, meaningless, like, you do devalue the bowl games, and it's like, well, they shouldn't be playing in this, especially if you're not playing for a national championship, because it is kind of meaningless to them, because if you're Ed Oliver,
right,
there's no point of playing in that game.
Absolutely. There's no reason for you to play in that game. And if your draft stock's going to come from the combine and the testing and what you've already done, you're not going to improve it with a bowl game.
No.
And
even with, like, I guess if you want to talk about it in the pros, when Arian Foster tore his Achilles, there was no freaking reason why he should have been in that game, because they were getting blown out and it was completely meaningless.
I think he's talking about the minute they lose. He's talking about I would say they don't mean anything. Kids are not up for these. The minute they lose these bowls, people freak out. Okay, not me. I don't understand. I don't think you can blanket statement bowls like that. The majority of them are exhibitions, yes, and they don't mean a whole hell of a lot. Now, to some teams, they do, and I think we just gave you a bunch of examples.
I think he might be referring to U of H and Army, maybe.
And yeah, that's fair, but you can't lose like that. You cannot look that unprepared and that bad when your coach has not had the best two seasons, has done a terrible job of coordinator hires, and now you got to replace both of them. And, yeah, I mean, if that's a freak out to say that they didn't even show up and play, that game, did it mean anything to UH? Probably not. But to not even compete, I think that goes to a deeper problem where your coach should be on the hot seat when you have an embarrassing, one of the most embarrassing losses in bowl history. You know, that can change. All right, quick break. Somebody asked, would you take Baylor Moneyline plus 160? Don't mind that. I like the Bears tonight. Jerry, you on that?
I'm all over Baylor with you.
All right. Okay. Quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. He'll get it. Don't worry. He's doing fine.
We're good.
Yep.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.